Afternoon, everyone. I'd like to introduce myself as Brett Stevenson. I'd like to welcome you all to this event. I am honored to host this event on behalf of the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. You'll have to bear with me. I'm just coming off a bit of a cold, so if I slur a little bit just because I'm getting over it. I'd like to thank the Leffert Public Interest Research Group, Shaw TV, the Students' Union, for their support here today. It is great to see them contribute towards events like these, and for the University of Lethbridge, it is a great privilege to host events like this. I was asked last week by John if I could moderate an event, and this event, and I heard that the guest here was going to be Commander Larkin, and I jumped at the opportunity. Judging from his career, Commander Larkin has had a belief in Canada and the sea when he was growing up. But, well, he's from Vancouver, and that is to be expected, I guess. So he was promoted to the rank of Naval Commander in 2002. He was given the command of HMSCS Protector in 2005, and since August of last year, and since then has been in charge of the HMCS Calgary. I met Commander Larkin only a little while ago. My intuitions served me well that he has had a distinguished career. I'd like all of you to give Commander Larkin a warm University of Lethbridge welcome. Thanks,
well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Can you hear me all right? First of all, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you today. Communications with the public is a very important part of what I do. As busy as we are, there are times when we need to down tools and interact with the people whose interests we represent. And this is one of those opportunities for me to tell you a little bit more about the Navy in general terms, and then I'll focus in on my ship, HMCS Calgary. And just to give you some examples of what it is that we do as a Navy and why. And I'm going to move through this in about 30 minutes, and I know that we're going to have an opportunity later on for Q&A. Okay? There are a couple of video clips, so please bear with me. The soundtracks are not exactly what you would consider contemporary music, but there you go. This gives you a quick snapshot of the kinds of things that we do across the spectrum of operations. So that provides a quick introduction, if I can get the slide to advance here. This slide shows you a few more action shots. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see one of our frigates. In fact, that's HMCS Calgary, alongside a U.S. Nuclear aircraft carrier. Just recently, Calgary was deployed as part of a Canadian Naval Task Group to off the coast of California for a task group exercise, which we do to conduct training for our Navy and our sailors in the different classes of ship. Calgary did something slightly different. We were detached from the rest of the Canadian task group, and we integrated with the carrier battle group, both so we could take advantage of the training that they were going through. That particular carrier battle group is preparing for a deployment to the Gulf, and the kind of operations that we were exposed to were absolutely second to none. It's important that we continue working with the Americans, both for defense of North America, but also when it comes to coalition operations in a place like the Persian Gulf. We need the means to cooperate and interoperate with other coalition partners. And Canada has developed a strength in this regard, because we provide, in effect, a gateway, a communications command and control gateway between the U.S. Navy and other coalition partners within the region. So it's an important role, and I think you'll see more of that in the future. Of course, the operating environment can be somewhat hostile sometimes. That's not a mountain there in the upper right-hand corner. That's a wave. So what are some of the strengths of a Navy in general terms? A Navy is flexible. It has to be flexible so that you can maintain freedom of the seas. The Canadian Navy is being used now more in the traditional sense of a Navy. What we saw in the Cold War was quite different. And if you look back over history, you'll see that now we are once again employing our warships in the traditional sense, both to defend home waters and to act out our Canadian foreign policy abroad. The Navy is flexible as well because you can operate in international waters in a region that needs that element of stability and still be quite close to another nation's shoreline, in fact, 12 miles. The spectrum of conflict, there's other ways of describing it, but the Navy, a warship, is capable of many missions across the spectrum of operations, from community relations, acting out the foreign policy, to search and rescue, and on the other end of the spectrum is multi-threat combat. And that is, in fact, the Navy's mission, and I'll get to that in a second. So here are a few facts about Canada, which helps to explain why we have a Navy. Longest coastline, if you include the Arctic archipelago, our exclusive economic zone, and we need the means to police and patrol the areas of economic interest to this country. So what do we have in our Navy today? First of all, this is our mission. Quite simple, straightforward, to generate and maintain a combat-capable Navy, which, as I mentioned, is the far end of the spectrum of operations. We need to be capable of that, even though we're spending most of our time operating in the middle of that spectrum. So the Navy at present consists of three guided missile destroyers, which are the command and control platform. When we deploy a task group, you'll have the one command ship, and the forces would be commanded by a Canadian naval commodore. We have 12 frigates, 7 east and 5 west. Calgary is one of our frigates. 2 supply ships, one on each coast, and they are the platform that provide sustainment to a Canadian naval task group when we deploy. We have the 4 submarines, the Victoria class. One is in on the west coast undergoing a midlife refit, and the other 3 are still in Halifax. Chicoutimi, because of the fire when she was being delivered, her refit is being put on hold so that we can focus the resources on keeping the others operating and maintaining the training throughput of our submariners. The submarines have taken a lot of heat in the media these past few years. They're a very capable submarine, And because we have a restricted budget, when we're introducing a complex platform such as this, where we can't throw money at the problem to introduce the submarines in the timeline that we would like, it takes longer to do these things. But they are a very capable platform and provide a much enhanced capability for our Navy. The 12 coastal patrol ships, the maritime coastal defense vessels, there's six on each coast, manned primarily by the reserves, and they are the ships that spend most of their time operating in the coastal environment, protecting Canadian sovereignty up and down both coasts. We're just now in the process of introducing eight Orca-class patrol vessels. They're going to be used primarily for officer training. They have a fairly large bridge, which is similar in many regards to the bridges of a frigate, the bridge in a frigate. So it's good to create the environment where our officers will be operating. They are replacing a smaller, much older class of vessel and have pretty good speed at 18 to 20 knots, about 210 tons. So they're quite quite robust sea-keeping qualities. They're not armed, but they can be fitted with a 50 caliber heavy machine gun for sovereignty operations, support to the RCMP, that sort of thing. And I should just add, just very quickly, when it comes to that sort of law enforcement, we are always in a supporting role. We don't have a law enforcement mandate. The RCMP and other government departments have that responsibility. But we can provide support at the request of the Solicitor General. So the Navy of the future. We will be starting to replace the older ships. The supply ships are about 35 years old, very capable to do what they were designed to do, but they're old, and the power plants are becoming unsupportable. So we need to replace them with a modern, more economical ship, and that will be the Joint Support Ship. About 28,000 tons, so slightly larger than the current Protector class. 20 knots, still a good long-range platform. Again, slightly larger than Protector, and will have a sea lift capability, which is an enhancement over what Protector currently has. So they'll be able to literally drive vehicles on board the ship. So for an operation such as East Timor, if you remember a few years ago, provided there's a port facility, we'll take the ship alongside and we can drive the vehicles ashore. We're looking at three of these ships so that there's going to be two in operation all the time and a third cycling through different levels of maintenance. So one for each coast to sustain a naval task group. The maritime helicopters, the Cyclone, will start to be introduced in 2009. There's going to be 28 of them. Again, a large helicopter for operating from our frigates, destroyers, and logistic support ships. A full range of capabilities for search and rescue, the various types of warfare, and general maritime surveillance. And they have a greatly enhanced communications and data link capability so that the picture that they develop using their own radars excuse me, can be linked back to the ship that it's operating from. You've probably heard about the Arctic offshore patrol vessels. They haven't yet been named, but they're a larger vessel, about 6,000 tons, so that they can operate effectively in first-year ice, up to about a meter thick, speeds up to around 20 knots, and helicopter capable. There's going to be six to eight of these ships built, manned primarily by the Naval Reserves, and we will likely station them out of Esquimalt and Halifax, but forward deploy them to Nanisivik, which has been chosen as the forward operating base. And that's, you can see where that port is on the northern part of Baffin Island. So in general, we have a very capable Navy. It's small, but fairly sophisticated. We have good equipment, and we have a good balance between sophisticated equipment and well-trained sailors, and you need to match those two up to achieve effectiveness. So the Navy is about achieving outcomes as opposed to having a fleet in being which could be deployed, but you don't really deploy it. We achieve results, and the idea is to generate a Navy that gives the government options. We have great sailors, men and women, very talented, highly motivated. I'm very, very proud of my ship's company. They are incredibly resilient people and very committed. And it takes tremendous family support as well. So when we go to sea for 6 months, we need to know that our families are taken care of. So we have a military family resources center in Victoria, which provides that support, that link, to make sure that the families have the support they need while we're away. Of course, we have a typically Canadian sense of humor. See, when you spend 6 months in the Persian Gulf, you have time to think about these sorts of things. The Canadian Navy is also part of NORAD. We contribute to domain awareness for North American defense from a maritime standpoint, and we share in that domain awareness so that we can effectively do what we need to do at sea. The gentleman there that you see in the lower right-hand corner, his name is Captain Mike Jelinek, Navy captain. And he was the watch commander in Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado Springs, on the morning of the 11th of September, 2001. The acting commander of NORAD was a Canadian general. And between the two of them and their watch, which was made up of U.S. and Canadian forces, they liaised with the Canadian and U.S. governments to respond to the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington. These are some of the places that we've operated in the last 15 to 20 years in a myriad of different capacities, responding to challenges to our fisheries, dealing with illegal migrants on the West Coast, providing hurricane relief, and more recently, we sent a small task group to the Gulf of Mexico to assist after Hurricane Katrina. At the time, I was captain of HMCS Protector, the supply ship, and we were also mobilized with 10 days' notice. Although we didn't deploy because the U.S. government reached the point where they decided that they were no longer needed foreign assistance. So Protector did not deploy, but the rest of the Canadian task group from the East Coast did. Naval boarding operations is a very important part of the kinds of things that we do when we're deployed for operations such as Op Altair in the Persian Gulf or in the Horn of Africa region. That is the presence which provides that measure of stability in the region to validate that shipping activities are legal, legitimate, to be ready to counter threats, piracy, human smuggling, weapon smuggling, and these are the people that we send over with very tight rules of engagement. They're not there to engage in combat. They are armed to inspect a vessel and to defend themselves if threatened. This is a... just pause this for a second. Sorry, I'm just going to pause this for a second. The video that I'm about to show you here is boarding that was done by HMCS Winnipeg in the Gulf off the coast of Iran about 8 years ago. I continue to use it because it's a graphical illustration of a Canadian boarding party going aboard a vessel suspected of illegal activity, and then that vessel having sealed its bridge so that we couldn't inspect their logs, turned towards Iranian territorial waters and tried to get into those state waters, which would have meant that we couldn't have performed our mission. And you'll hear at the end how close they got. You see a U.S. warship on the other side and a U.S. helicopter, but it's a Canadian boarding party. That's pretty close. The mission that Calgary is likely going to be deployed on in 2008 is called Operation Altair. HMCS Charlottetown has just deployed from the East Coast, and she will be operating with the Harry S. Truman Carrier Battle Group in the region of the Horn of Africa up to the southern Arabian Gulf. The as you can see there, the purpose of the mission. And it's, once again, it's a manifestation of our foreign policy in that region. It's important that we take part in multilateral operations so that Canada can have a say in the outcome of these areas of these regional conflicts or issues. This gives you some idea of the operating tempo that we've had over the last 10 to 15 years. Between October of 2001 and the spring of 2003, 17 of our 18 major warships each spent at least 6 months in the Gulf. And there's no other Navy that can claim that kind of operating tempo. Virtually our entire Navy had been deployed to the region. So what do our sailors miss while they're at sea for 6 months? We try to make up for it on board. And you need a good sense of humor to spend 6 months at sea. You may recognize our former Governor General. So I'd like to shift now and talk a little bit about HMCS Calgary and the things that we have been doing recently. The ship is involved in a tiered readiness program where we're ramping up to high readiness. We started off in the dockyard in a period of maintenance for about a year where systems were modernized, upgraded, and we undocked in December and reactivated starting in January. You start with some very basic training, individual skills, damage control, firefighting, that sort of thing, and then you pull the teams together and you take the ship to sea and you do basic operations, search and rescue, you practice putting out fires, keeping yourself safe. But you need to start with those basic building blocks and then build up from there. Calgary has since done all of the sea trials for our systems, engineering and weapon systems. We most recently did a missile shoot off California, which was a firing of the Evolved Sea Sparrow missile, which is the latest generation of a ship point defense missile. So we conducted this task group exercise. We deployed from Esquimalt, five ships, three frigates, a destroyer, the flagship, and Protector, the supply ship. Sailed down the coast to the California operating areas, and then Calgary separated, and we carried on with our missile shoot, while the other four ships provided the opposing force for the Abraham Lincoln carrier battle group. Calgary integrated with the battle group, and after we did the missile shoot, carried on for a couple of weeks working alongside U.S. warships and operating with the aircraft carrier. And then, once again, on completion of the carrier battle group workup, reintegrated with our own task group and came north again. The missile shoot that we did was the, I mentioned this is the latest generation of point defense missile. Very sophisticated and designed to deal with some of the most modern threats to our ships that are out there. It was the first time this particular missile had been fired by a Canadian warship in the Pacific. I'm just going to exit here for a second and show you the video clip that was taken from HMCS Algonquin, which was 2 miles away at the time. The vertical launch missile, when it's fired, it heads straight up, obviously, and then it tilts over in the direction of the threat. In the case of this exercise, we were responding to a fighter-bomber attack. If you remember when the Royal Navy sailed south in the South Atlantic to the Falklands conflict, many of the their ships were lost due to fighter-bomber attacks and 500 to 1,000-pound bombs being dropped on the ships. That's what we were practicing defending against. And there was a target known as a BQM, which is it's essentially a missile in itself, and it flew an attack profile on the ship. And we fired two missiles, and they were both very successful at achieving hit parameters. And by that I mean it has to be close enough to the target, even without skin to skin, close enough that had there been a warhead, it would have been effective against the threat. So the Abraham Lincoln Strike Group integration, again, the carrier battle group was working up for operations in the Gulf and in that region. So we worked alongside them to practice the same sorts of tactics that we would need to be capable of to respond to some of the threats over there. What you're looking at here is a column of nine ships simulating a straits transit. So it could be the Strait of Hormuz, Strait of Malacca, anywhere where they could be threatened by a small boat attack. And we did, in fact, exercise responding to that kind of a threat. You'll see in the upper right-hand corner there, there's a helicopter over a high-speed rigid hull inflatable boat. They sent a few of these, they're operated by the U.S. Navy, out to engage the column of ships so that the ships could maneuver in response. Calgary also performed plane guard duties, which is taking a station about a mile astern of the aircraft carrier and being ready to provide search and rescue support to a downed aircraft. And in fact, during this exercise, there was the Abraham Lincoln lost a helicopter with a crew of seven. The aircraft ditched, crash landed, turned turtle, and thankfully, because of the high level of training, every member of the crew escaped with minor injuries, but they all survived. It's a dangerous business. We also conducted replenishment at sea operations, and this is a shot taken from Calgary looking forward from the standby station before we pull in to alongside the supply ship to receive fuel ourselves. And we did cross-deck with the carrier. We sent our own liaison officer over to help with the command and control of Canadian warships within the carrier battle group and to explain our own operating procedures to the commander on board. The commander of the strike group, Admiral Van Buskirk, he also came over and joined Calgary on Remembrance Day. So we provided him with a tour of the ship, and then he took part in our Remembrance Day ceremony down on the flight deck, which is the photo you see in the lower right-hand corner. So that was a very quick overview of the Canadian Navy and my ship in particular. I just wanted to provide you with a snapshot of what the Navy's capabilities are and give you a chance to ask me questions. And that concludes my presentation. Although I have one more video. Once again, this shows a series of shots, clips of what it is that we do at sea. Boarding party training. This shows an operations team responding to an inbound missile attack. That concludes my presentation.